What it is, a great privilege to worship Father God. If you've come in here today and you're different right now than when you came in, it's because you've worshipped God. You've worshipped our Father. You've worshipped Jesus. You've thanked Him for what He's done in your life. The Holy Spirit is here moving in this place. And it's when our attention and our focus and our perspective switches to Him. That's what makes a difference in our life. That's what changes us. That's what softens us. That's what causes the things in our life to just fade into the background and we get His perspective. So Holy Spirit, we just thank You for what You're doing in this service, Lord, what You're doing in hearts. And Lord, we pray You continue to speak through Your word as it is preached this morning so that we do walk out different from when we walked in. And You prepare us and equip us for the week that we have ahead to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, band. Isn't it great to have Lauren with us this morning? Yeah. Thank you, Lauren. And the boys from Melbourne. So are you Melbourneers now or are you still city country boys? What do you reckon? So you can take the boys out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boys. That's what I always say. So it's great to have Caleb and James back with us doing university in Melbourne this year. Well, how are you all this morning? Good. That's good. So I pray that everyone that's away is having a great holiday, a great break, and safe travels. But we're here. And I believe God wants to speak to us today. If we could have that first slide up, please, Lillian. So today is Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday is all about second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came and fell at Pentecost. And it just changed history, really. Birthed the early church, and we're a Pentecostal church, a product of what happened over 2,000 years ago. And today as we come and we worship and hear from the Word and take communion together and we do all those things that were profoundly affected by what happened on that day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. So we're going to just look at a few things relating to Pentecost today. It's going to be a little bit different. So I pray that God really speaks to you this morning. So next slide. Pastor Gideon, he spoke last week, and if you're here, it was a tremendous service. The title of his message was Effective Witnessing Involves the Power of the Holy Spirit, and he preached that leading up to Pentecost Sunday, which is today. And I want to pick up a little bit of what he was talking about, and today I want to focus on what it is to be a witness. Now, there's a biblical definition and everything, but basically when you boil it down to everyday language that we can speak and understand, a witness is those whose lives and actions testified to the worth and the effect of faith. So, if you're a witness of what Jesus has done in your life, your words and your actions will testify to people around about you of your faith in Jesus. Amen? Basically, that's what it boils down to in a nutshell. So we're going to look at that today and how that affects our everyday lives being a witness for Jesus Christ. So our next slide is four scriptures that I want to share with you this morning, and we're going to have a look at those as we work through. So the first one, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So this is leading up to the day of Pentecost. And Jesus says to his disciples before he descends into heaven, he says to wait in Jerusalem, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. So what Jesus was stating here to his disciples was that something was about to happen, And this was going to, in a sense, change history. This was going to set up the early church. This was going to be the command and the promise that they were waiting for. It may not have worked out how they thought it was going to, but this was the start of a new era. Now, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Mary when Jesus was birthed into her womb was the same Holy Spirit that was going to fall on the disciples, and it was going to cause them to have supernatural power and ability to work miracles, to preach effectively, and to be his witnesses. Their witness would be such a bold and statement. It would produce conviction leading to positive or negative decisions in the people that they shared it with. The thing about it is the disciples, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it didn't take long for an opportunity to present itself to share the gospel. Our next verse there in Acts chapter 2:32, Peter, the same Peter who had denied Christ, the same Peter who had walked away, the same Peter who had gone back to fishing, that very same Peter, now that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, got up on the day of Pentecost and preached an incredible word. And verse 32 of that message that he was preaching, he says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. So now that Peter had been filled with the Holy Spirit, he had the power and the boldness to proclaim the things that he had seen. He was an eyewitness of what Jesus had done in his life. He was an eyewitness to the change that it had brought, and the Holy Spirit had given him the power to come and preach that. And from that, great conviction fell on the people, and 3,000 people got saved that day. So it didn't take long for an opportunity for the boldness that the Holy Spirit was going to bring when it fell on people to produce a result. Amen? It's an interesting statement that I just read before. It talks about that when they preached, it led to either positive or negative decisions. Wouldn't it be great if every time we shared the word, we got a positive result? And people said, thank you for that. Or, I'm really going to think about that. Or, they end up getting saved. Wouldn't it be great if every time there was a positive result? But the reality is that lots of times there won't be a positive result. There'll be maybe a negative result, or people will get upset. I read an article this week about Paul. There was this pivotal point in Paul's ministry where he felt he had to go to Rome. And by going to Rome, that would basically mean imprisonment and probably death. And he knew that. And yet, he felt the Holy Spirit was calling him to do that. And I read this article that someone wrote about the mistake that Paul made was he didn't listen to the people around about him who tried to stop him. And therefore, he could have not gone through all that. And that was the big mistake that Paul made. So the question I want to ask you today is, when Paul went to Rome, and he got to share the gospel to countless people and kings and people in high positions, and he died for Christ, did he make a mistake? Or was that the Holy Spirit speaking to him? See, from the big picture, from God's perspective, that could have been exactly what God was calling him to do. And the people that he spoke to and the influence that he had And the books that he wrote in that time changed the course of history. And yet, in our human frailty and in our avoidance of wanting to not have pain or persecution, we could look at that and say, well, he did the wrong thing. We could also look at it and say, every time we get a negative reaction to talking about Jesus, that, oh, I wasn't led by the Holy Spirit. if I was led by the Holy Spirit, I would have talked to someone and they would have had a positive reaction. See, it's an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? You know what? Sometimes when people arc up and they have a negative reaction or they have a... you just don't know what is actually happening in that person's life. When Chelsea and Daniel Hagen were here, we got to go out for tea one night and Chelsea was telling a few stories. And one story she said was that she went out and shared about Jesus in a pub one day, not long after she was saved. And as she shared it with this guy, he just arced up and he went berserk and he started cursing and swearing at her and blah, blah, blah. And for most people, if that happened to you, just imagine, Paul, you go to share with someone about Jesus and they just go up and they're fuming and they're cursing and almost spitting in your face. You wouldn't expect that sort of reaction. You know what Chelsea said? She thought, wow! She thought, if there's that much power in the name of Jesus, wow, what a reaction. And that was just a real encouragement for her. But if that happened to you, how would you react? Hey, would you think, oh, I better not do that again? Or the Holy Spirit didn't lead me, or I would have talked to a person that would have accepted it. But who knows what happened in the heart of that person? She may never know. But a similar thing happened to her. She reacted and she went away and thought about it. And it was this process of her getting saved. There was a statement that was made when we had a panel that day. And the statement was, when you're sharing your faith and talking about the Lord, don't worry about the response. Don't worry about the response. Peter got a great response that day, but then as we find, as the book of Acts rolled on, the apostles went out and they preached and they taught and they did signs and wonders and miracles, and there's often a great response, but then a great persecution broke out and they were scattered. But it was all part of God's plan. It was all part of the church spreading out, going beyond, not just staying in Jerusalem, not just in Judea or Samaria, but actually going to the very ends of the known world. And the ends of the own world at that point of time was Rome. Where did Paul go? Rome. He basically went to the ends of the earth as a missionary to spread the gospel. Did he do the wrong thing? I don't think so. You see, the apostles were eyewitnesses. But the reality is, everyone who has an encounter now with Jesus is a witness. You may not be there. You may not have been an eyewitness when he walked the streets of Jerusalem, when he died on the cross, like the disciples were. But I tell you what, if Jesus has got hold of your heart, and something has happened on the inside, and you know what it means to be forgiven, you know what it means to be cleansed, you know what it means to have an intimate relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you are a witness. And what applied to the apostles in the early church applies to you. You are a witness and an ambassador of the Almighty God. Let's look at the next verse, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That word witnesses there, I was really intrigued by that. So you've got this picture of us in a stadium, and we're running the race that's marked out for us, and the stands are filled with a great crowd of witnesses that are the great men and women of faith throughout history, throughout the ages. And it could have said, you're surrounded by such a great crowd of men and women of God, or a great crowd of legends, or the hall of fame of the religious history, but it didn't. It called them witnesses. Because these people, some were eyewitnesses, some were not, but they were all witnesses of Jesus changing faith in their life. And it came out in their actions. It came out in their words. It came out in the way that they lived their life right through to their death. And some died for that faith. Some were martyred for that faith. When you go through the apostles, 11 of the 12 died for their faith. John was the only one who died from old age. He retired on the Isle of Patmos and played bowls and bridge. Or whatever he did. But all the rest died for their faith. Interesting use of words. Even that last scripture, Revelation 3:14, to the church in Laodicea, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, we write that these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. It calls Jesus the faithful and the true witness. He witnessed it all. He was there from the foundation of the world before anything existed. He was there. He's witnessed it the lot. He's been a witness to the unity that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have. He's been a witness to the creation of the world. He was a witness to his own life on this earth and dying on the cross. He witnessed it all. The faithful and the true witness. And we need to understand that we as witnesses have all at our disposal the promises of God and everything that the tools that He's given us through the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. It lives in us. And how incredible that is. You know, often when we talk about the day of Pentecost, the focus is on the Holy Spirit falling and speaking in tongues and being refreshed. And that's also very important. But one of the main reasons that came was so that we could be bold and be His witnesses. Not so that we could feel good and be refreshed, but not go out and change, not go out and speak of Him. So it's a challenging time, this whole day of Pentecost and what it actually meant. Just thinking about Paul, he went to Rome and that was basically the ends of the earth at that time. You think about the world that we live in today. The Joshua Project had some interesting stats. It said that virtually 29% of the world has virtually had no exposure to the gospel whatsoever. That's about 2.2 billion people, they estimate, have very little or no exposure to the gospel. So when you look at the world roughly, about a third of the world is made up of people that are living for Jesus or profess to be Christians. There's about a third that are another religion or not interested. And there's almost a third that have very rarely or never heard the gospel at all. That's basically what the world is broken up to in the 7 billion people that we have. Another interesting stat was that it estimated that 95% of pastors worldwide have had no formal training. Wow. That blew my mind when I read that. Because I want to go to the next slide, and with that thought in mind, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Thanks, Lillian. So with our Together conference in May, it was an incredible time. And there was some teaching around evangelism and activation and street teams. Give me a wave if you went out on a street team. Yeah, number of people. I think that one of the most powerful things about that was to go out on something like that if you don't normally do that sort of thing. It really breaks down some barriers and some fears in you. So to be able to do that is just a great experience, even if that's not your ministry. But to be a part of something like that, and I'm sure there's people here that would get up and testify of the things that happen, and we heard some of that during the conference. See, it does something within you. But not everyone is a street evangelist. But even if it does something in you that affects your everyday life and the way that you think, that's powerful. Another thing we heard over that weekend was there's many Christians have 90% knowledge but only 10% action. So if you go over into countries like India, for example, where people are getting saved and churches are being planted, and many of the pastors there have had no formal Bible college training whatsoever, and yet they're out planting churches, running churches, reaching people. Unfortunately, in the Western world, many Christians have 90% of knowledge, and yet many are failing to activate that. So it's not translating into reaching people. Maybe because it's of a number of different things, but I thought almost the opposite stat to what the Joshua Project is telling us. So my question to you is, when you came to the Together Conference and you're involved in that and exposed in that and challenged by that, has anything changed in you? Question to ponder. The Saturday night session, we saw an incredible supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. And just was an incredible night. Just Daniel had changed his message that day, and just one thing after another, the coincidences, which aren't coincidences in God, but how it all tied together, and just the black and white coming together that he spoke about, and how that affected us here in Marupna, and just the incredible presence of God. It was amazing. And over that whole weekend, there was a powerful presence of God saturating us and stoking a fire within us. Just incredible to be there, to be a part of. So my question to you, has anything changed in you because of that? It's great to go to a conference. It's great to be stirred up. It's great to be challenged in our thinking. But I don't want to be a person that maybe a month down the track, everything goes back to normal. And then we look forward to the next conference. But the reality is, what is that stirring and doing and changing in our lives now, in our everyday lives? So our next slide talks about hindrances to being an effective witness. Right? The focus today is that the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell in boldness, was so that we could be his witnesses, just like the apostles and Peter was back then, 2,000 years ago. So let's talk about, before we get to some effective keys, let's talk about some hindrances to being an effective witness. So a couple of thoughts. Number one is the busyness of life and the cares of this world. The reality is, we live in a life where it's pretty busy. You know, if you're working a full-time job and you've got family and you've got commitments, life is busy. There's always things that we're doing. The cares of this world are probably the events that happen. Has anyone gone through the 6 months of this year without any dramas in their life? Without anything? Yeah? Not one hand went up. So there's always stuff happening. There's always cares of this world. There's always things that, because of our own silly fault or just because of a fallen world or events that have happened, that will come in and consume our thoughts. The reality is, all those things can stop you being an effective witness if you let it. Oh, how can I think about other people? I've got enough on my own plate. How can I share the gospel or share the love of God with other people when I'm struggling so much in my own walk? You see, that the busyness of life, cares of the world, is all a subtle way that the enemy distracts you from doing what God has called you to do. So I want you to understand that, because right in that is we have a choice of we can get consumed by that stuff so it stops us from doing what God's called us to do, or we can understand that that's just part of what happens in life and that's not going to distract you and you're going to make being a witness a priority in your life. That's really the bottom line. And if you want to take something away from the conference, then to me that was a powerful message. So number two there, fear of man or intruding in people's lives. When we're out that day, and you know, often this happens, is the thought of going up to someone and just start sharing about the love of God or trying to steer the conversation into, you know, faith and Christ. Often you can feel like you're intruding in their life. You're just sort of butting in and, you know, they won't like that. Or the fear of what they're going to say. And so if you're a person that going out on the street and just walking up to a stranger is something that you just find naturally. There was some people here that day, and one girl in particular, I just watched her walk around the supermarket. She just walk up to anyone, and it was so natural, and just begin to talk to them. But if that's not you, that doesn't mean that you don't have a role to play. It just means that you can do it in a different way. Maybe it's through relationship, through the people that you know, through the people that you're spending time with and you're building. And it's all about being led by the Holy Spirit. Don't put yourself in a box and say, I'm not that, therefore I can't do that. Because the Holy Spirit can move differently in you in any way. Right? And there may come that day when you're walking down the street and the Holy Spirit just gives you that nudge. I want you to go and talk to that person. And it's all about being obedient. The third one there is disappointment or persecution. If you've ever had a knockback, well, it just didn't work. I just never got any response, or I just got yelled at or sworn at, and disappointment can set in, and therefore I'm not going to do that again. All right? Well, I'm sure the apostles had plenty of that. Not understanding your calling. Well, I'm just not an evangelist. Well, probably 99% of us could say that, okay? But this is not about gifting. See, gifting is whether you can play the piano or you know, be a public speaker or certain things like that. They're giftings. But your calling, and we talked about in communion, is that God has given every one of us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Reconciling people back to God the way He reconciled you. And it can look very different, the way that we all do it. But to say I'm not an evangelist, therefore I'll leave that to them, is a cop-out. All right? We all have a ministry of reconciliation. So not understanding your calling can stop you from being an effective witness because you think it's not for me, you know. My job is to do this. I'll leave that to the other people. Or lack of Holy Spirit guiding. And probably that comes down to just not spending enough time. I never hear from the Holy Spirit. I pray and nothing ever happens. Well, it's probably due to developing that relationship and spending time and just learning to listen to His voice. And as you do that, you'll become more confident in how He leads you and guides you and speaks to you. The next slide talks about keys to being an effective witness. So the flip side of what we've just been talking about is to know your call and be passionate about it, right? I want everyone here to understand you have the ministry of reconciliation. God implores us to reconcile people on His behalf. We are His hands and His feet. Jesus has left. He sent the Holy Spirit. So it's not just about one Messiah walking around. It's about everyone on planet Earth that calls on Jesus as their Lord and Savior, is an ambassador and represents him, and we have that ministry now. So now there's currently over 2 billion Christians on planet Earth that can be sharing the love of God and their faith with this world and being a witness for him. What an incredible thought. Over 2 billion people. And we are to be part of that if we understand who we are and know what our calling is and not get it mixed up with giftings. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. This is so important that we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Just this last week, we had the hampers up here, and Melissa felt the Holy Spirit speak to her a while ago about just really blessing the neighbours that back onto the church. There's 14 neighbours that back onto our church. So with the help of Sandy, we made up 14 hampers. And last week, there's a few of us that went around and distributed them, and we did a few more this week because people weren't home. So the other day, I knocked on a door. You ever knocked on a door? Ever had someone knock on your door? And your first reaction is, what are they trying to sell me? Yeah? We naturally don't like that if it's a stranger knocking on our door. All right, so I knocked on these people's door. And I had a hamper in my hands. And we'd found from what had happened in the last week, you know, some people just, well, wow, that's amazing. That's very thankful. Other people just cried and people got to pray with them. It was just an incredible experience. These people said, do you want to come in? I said, I was the pastor from the church. I said, do you want to come in? So I came in, gave them the hamper, and the gentleman's words were, I'm flabbergasted. Can someone Google, what does flabbergasted mean? I was flabbergasted. So we got to sit down, we had a coffee, I actually shared with them what the Holy Spirit has spoken to Melissa about and why we were doing what we were doing and got to pray with them. Wow, that was an amazing experience. So it's about let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him guide you. Probably 100 people in the room, probably only one person's ever heard about, why don't you do some hampers and bless your neighbours? But the Holy Spirit's probably spoken to you about something different. About what you can do in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, that some other people might think, well, that's weird, but if God speaks to you, okay? So allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Build this into everyday life and personality. Another story that Chelsea told was she was in a car park at a supermarket. Now, how many of you, when you go to Coles or Woolies, to race in and grab that milk and bread and race out, go in with the thought, I wonder who I could share the love of God with today. Normally, you know, if it's me, you drive in and the people going across the crossing, you got to slam on the brakes because you didn't see them. That would have been a good start to run someone over. And then you walk in and where's that aisle and walk out the shortest route. How can I get to the milk and the bread and grab that? And how can I get into the line that has the least amount of people? And how can I jump back in the car and get home? And then the thought of, what if in my everyday life, in the things like that, in the tasks that I do, could actually be an opportunity to be looking and sharing the love of God with someone? That's a new one. That actually came from my wife, not the Holy Spirit, but... But Chelsea was talking about, she was in a supermarket in a car park one day and this lady was struggling with all this stuff and she offered to just go and take the trolley back and help her out. And the lady just said to her, why are you doing this? Why are you being kind? And she just said, I just want to tell you how much Jesus loves you. And you know what the lady said to her? She said, I was about to kill myself and I cried out to God and said, God, unless you show me something today, it's all over. And then you came. So my question is to us, in the everyday tasks that we do, we can actually be led by the Holy Spirit and build into that being an effective witness for Him. Just think about that. Let that sink in. Equip yourself with resources. You know, the pastor in India that's basically got nothing is going out and planting churches and doing this for God. You know, and we have everything at our fingertips. Let's equip ourselves. If you feel that you're not equipped in an area, equip yourself. But don't just let the knowledge build up and build up and build up and not get used. Activate it and use it. And keep going regardless of the response. Because you never know, even if you get a bad response, a bad reaction, what that is actually doing in someone's life. And it could be part of the process of leading them to faith in Jesus. And I'll just show you this last slide here as the band comes back up. The three circles. And we're looking at, this is just one resource. We're looking at designing up an invite card, and we might put this on the back and just be a great little tool to invite someone to church, or if you get the opportunity to flip it over and talk through this. But basically, the first circle is God's design. God's design was for us as humankind to be in intimate relationship with Him. And we all know that through the fall, through sin, that we now live in a broken world. And many people are reaching out to all sorts of things. Some of them good, some of them bad, some of them just to dull the pain. But it's trying to, you know, get some relief from the brokenness. And yet we know, because of what we've experienced in our life, that turning to Jesus and repenting and allowing Him to come in and transform your life is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And through that, there's a process of recovery and pursuing after God, and we end up walking back into God's design and calling and the purpose that He had for us from the very beginning. So there's little tools like that. There's a video that I can send you. We won't play it today. I can send you that link. But I just want us to walk away from this Pentecost Sunday today with an understanding that He's given us the Holy Spirit to be bold, effective witnesses for Him. And that might mean just meditating on that, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, and just changing some things that you do in your everyday life. Because I would love to come to church every week where there's visitors, where there's people getting saved, where we just see our community just being so affected for Christ. And each and every one of us has a role to play. And maybe for each and every one of us, there's some fears and some things to get over. And we need to look at our own personal lives, myself also, about what can I change to be a more effective witness for Him. So as we sing this last song, I just want us all to stand and worship God. And today is Pentecost Sunday. This is about the Holy Spirit falling on people and boldness coming. And I just want you, actually, we're not going to pray for anyone today. I just want you to reach out right where you stand. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in other tongues, there's a sign of that. I want you to just call out to God and worship Him and pray that that's your portion today. For everyone else, if you are here today, you just need that refreshing touch of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit, give me boldness to be, and just begin to cry out and worship Him today. If you need healing today, just reach out. And let's just spend this time as we close, a time of refreshing in the Holy Spirit. Actually, the only people that can come out the front is people that need to get saved. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you. Everyone else, as we stand, just begin to worship Him, reach out to the Holy Spirit. And as you go from this place today, pray that the words that have been spoken today will cause you to think and look at how you can be an effective witness for Him. Amen.